The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to February's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. You join us here at the award-winning Heat and Hops in Stockport for another monthly encounter.
That's better, by the way, Ben. I mean, you could say Heat and Chapel. You could say that. I don't know why you choose not to every week. Every
geographically, Heat and Chapel isn't as widely known as...
Welcome to the award-winning show, the award-winning Heat and Hops.
We ain't won any awards.
In Heat and Chapel, Stockport.
We haven't won any awards.
Picking hairs a thing. Splitting hairs.
Well, I can't vote for myself, all right?
No, I think the award-winning Heat and Hop and Heat and Chapel, Stockport. Because those people that might think, oh, an award-winning bar in Stockport, and they'll go to Stockport.
Where is it?
And you'll go, it's in Heat and Chapel, you'd come all the way back, and you'd miss two train stops.
It's 5 minutes away on the 192.
We do put the website address in the description to the podcast.
You could just say Heat and Chapel, and people would know where to get off.
No one's heard of Heat and Chapel. There's no football team in Heat and Chapel. There's probably a rugby team, a rugger. The Heat and Chapel best 15 or whatever. I don't know.
There's Heat and More Rugby Club.
Is that how rugby people talk?
Is it?
There's Heat and More Rugby Club, and also there's the award-winning Heat and Hop.
Welcome everyone to the award-winning Heat and Hop.
You ruined the beginning of that, didn't you? Then
here, not far from Reddish.
You can't help yourself, can you?
Around the table, we've got the great and good from the non-league world. We've got Andrew Simpson here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
Ian Burke is here from 26-0.
That's right. Hello, Ben.
And formerly the BBC.
Well, yes, I've jacked it in because I wanted to spend more time doing this.
Oh. Yeah, the once-a-month show opposed to the weekly.
And musical differences, obviously.
James Hayes is here, social media officer from the league.
Evening.
We've got Swampy here from the non-league show on Audio Boom.
Good evening, listener.
And feels like you're here a month late, but hello, Richard Impey's here from Malta.
Good evening.
Hello. So,
Burke, Skimpy Impey.
Burke, I'm going to come to you. We have got an interview with Phil Parkinson coming up very shortly, probably with Neil Savelle as well, because they're a double act.
He's a straight man.
Ben, can I ask you a question? How do you not know?
Because I've not done the interview yet. It's taking place on Thursday, and we're recording this bit of the show on Wednesday.
Whenever
I call Phil, Neil's always with him, and he always says, would you like Neil on the interview too? And I said, yeah, sure, why not?
But Neil's the quiet one.
No, I can't tell them apart on the phone. It's very difficult. Right. Burke.
Yes.
10 points. Someone's going to win the league by 10 points every year. Everyone's going to win the league by 10 points.
Ben.
10 points. Altrincham. Look at that.
Yes,
it's
I know.
10.
Ben.
70 minus 60. 10.
Ben, never mind that. I said that at the start of the season. But going back to last month.
Which season?
The start of this season. And the season before. All the seasons. But this time last month, I said, Altrincham winning by 9, and I said, right, it's only a matter of time before the 10 points, maybe a little bit further on than that, and they're going to romp to victory. And they still are going to win the league. I mean, it's a closed book now. They're done. They've won it. There you are. Everyone else is playing for second place. Richard, you just raised both your eyebrows there.
I know. I can't even consider it until we're there. It's one of those things, isn't it? You don't try and think we've won a title when there's 11 games to go. Sorry, 14 games to go.
A 4-1 win over Stourbridge on Tuesday night.
Great performance. We blew them away first half.
4-0 at half time, wasn't it?
4-0 half time.
I mean, that's.
The football we played, we were lucky to have the pitch in such good condition considering the weather we've had recently. Ground staff Neil and Brian Ford have done magnificent.
So, at this stage, what's the mood amongst the support base, the notorious Alti support base? Well, can you speak for all of them at this stage?
No, I can't possibly speak for all of them. I mentioned to Simo on the way in, even some of the knockers were on the forum last night after the. Even they were on last night saying that great performance it was. Haven't seen Alti play this well in years.
The thing is, Altrincham fans, they do have a reputation.
High expectations.
And the thing about them is that the squad, what they did, and the one thing, and I don't think anybody else would have been able to do this, they brought in the right manager. Yeah. If it had been any other manager, I truly believe they would be in the mid-table doldrums of this division, but they brought in and they got it exactly right.
It was a masterstroke.
The perfect mix. that the manager that they've got now with Parkinson should have been in the division above, as far as I'm concerned. He's that good, and he's proven after a little bit of a sticky start.
I can't disagree.
You know, the quality that they've got, and it's the football they're playing and the enjoyment. And as you say, I mean, you said to me over the weekend you were very unlucky with the game not being on then. You thought it might have been even on the weekend, the amount of work that the grounds have been doing.
Shaw Lane against Altrincham is never going to happen as a game. It's never going to happen.
If it had been at home, the point was that they believed they could have got that game on, the amount of work they've been doing to make sure that surface is a really good footballing surface, because you've got a footballing team that needs to play football, and you're proving by being 10 points in front, you will win the division. It's going to be closer than that when it comes to the end of the season. It won't be a 10-point gap. Yeah, but I truly believe that now, with 14 games to go, I can't see Altrincham imploding in any way, shape or form. The games they've got in front of them are all winnable, and they're a very, very good football team, and they will grace the next division above.
And they'll learn from the mistakes going forward as well, and it's going to stand them in really good stead in the National League North.
Coming to you now, Simon, because they've not been here before for a while, and you know they've got Warrington there, and you've got a game in hand, admittedly. Shaw Lane have got two games to play against Altrincham.
Yeah,
they've got games in hand. Obviously, Shaw Lane, though, they've got to cram all those fixtures in, but it could turn around quite quickly. I mean, James mentioned Charlie and their title-winning season, where you know they were miles clear, and then suddenly they left the door open.
That's why I'm not getting too excited like Ian is.
It only takes a couple of results being turned around.
Next month we've got 5 games in 10 days.
So what's everyone else?
Oh, I know.
I have looked at Alti's run, you know. I mean, surely they need two things to happen. They need to go on a great run themselves, but they also need somebody along the way to beat Altrincham for them. So I went through Alti's
Have they got to play Ashton again?
No.
That's a shame.
Round the list and you really are scratching around for games where they might lose points. It's a busy running, I agree, but it's quite a kind running. They've got to play Barwell at home and Grantham away. They're the two hardest games they've got left, I think, apart from the Shaw Lane ones. And I just can't see them dropping enough points for Shaw Lane to be able to kind of latch onto them.
I think they'll leather Grantham away.
And don't forget the goal difference.
Remember, Grantham are no great shakes at home. They're not all. Stanley Bridge have got as good a home record as Grantham.
Yeah, but hold on a second. I mean, I think what you say, Richard, as well, which is very important, and I think you are right to a large degree, that there aren't that many games that on paper you would say they're going to struggle. I think even if they had a lot of tough games, they're still good enough and they've got the quality. But they've also got a goal difference of 46. Yeah. That actually isn't 1.2 points. That's actually at least three points difference between...
It's not how it works.
No, you know.
Do we reckon they can get 100 points?
Yeah.
I think they can, you know.
Very shortly, we will catch up with Phil Parkinson, like we said, and we'll
be nice to know what he thinks before we ever come onto this show.
I have to do the rugby league stuff early in the week now.
Rugby league. See what I mean?
Altrincham at 10 points clear. Warrington and Shaw Lane, it feels like, are the only teams now who've got any outside chance of catching them. I think we all agreed on that.
We mentioned
Shaw Lane having three games in hand over Alti, with two of those games still left to play, of course, whenever those happen. July, do you think, James? We've got the penciled in for those
Maybe
two fixtures.
Maybe so.
So, what about Warrington? When we spoke to Paul Carden, it feels like, and Paul Quinn, the pair of them are looking at second now.
I did listen to both of them interviews, interesting, wondering whether they were just kind of trying to take the pressure off their teams. I don't think they were, actually. I think they were being pretty straight. I don't think either of them genuinely believe that they can catch Altrincham. I don't think they were up to mischief. So that would leave them kind of now playing for home advantage in the playoffs. And I think, we'll come on to the playoffs, but I think these two are the two that are nailed for the playoffs. I think it's up for grabs for the others. Warrington, I've got a really tough month if they want to hang on to second. They've got Barwell, Stafford, Grantham and Stalybridge away in the next run of games. But they responded to that disappointing defeat against Stalybridge with back-to-back wins, so I think they're back on track, and I think they are favourites to finish second, actually.
You think Warrington are?
I think so.
Problem Shaw Lane have got, and we touched on it last week, was just how many games they've got cramming.
It's the number of games they've got, it's when they can play them as well. Yeah.
Can you pose the eternal question, then?
No, we've already answered it this past month when we spoke to Fazer Celtic and Barwell. Their management both clubs, you know, they played more games, but they've got a game a week now to the end of the season.
You need to get on a roll, don't we? But they've just not had a chance to do it.
I think you look at Warrington Town, 60 points. There's 3 points between Shortley and Farsley, and then another 2 points between Ashton, and then 1 point Grantham down to Barwell. I mean, Grantham are on 31 games, 54 points. Warrington Town have got to play them, and a few other clubs have got to play them as well. And Warrington have done very, very well this season. If Shore Lane can't get games on, it's going to be to the detriment, and they're finding it struggling at this moment in time. If they have that situation, it carries on, but they get so many games that you have to play game after game after game, and it's very tough to do that. If you get on a decent run within there, then fine. But as soon as you lose one, and you've got another game to come, and another game to come, it can be the opposite effect. I think out of those teams, I think for me personally, Grantham are going to be a team that actually will end up right up there, and a real team to look for with 31 games. You know, this is very different. Sure, they'd have to win the games that they've got.
Can we just talk about before we get to those other teams? Can we talk about Farsley? Is it too many games?
Well, it is to a degree that they play 35. They are where they are. They're doing fantastically well. They'll be looking to stay up there. Don't get me wrong.
Haven't they been up there all season?
Yeah,
they're two points
above a team that played four games less than them. Yeah. So therefore, that team wins two or three games.
They need a bit of that.
And not only that, they've got Grantham to play 31. And the two teams below them have only played four games less. Barwell have played 35. And you have to go all the way down to Workington who played four less. But apart from that, everyone else has played similar games. If you're in that position at the moment and you're only a few points in front, you expect to slide down the table, unfortunately. Because you think those teams above below you are going to win games, and they have been winning games, and I think they will continue to win
Ashton
games.
Is definitely going to finish a bit faster, no doubt about that.
Well, that brings us on to Ashton then. Ashton's result against Alton. they're having a cracker season. Who said they should be in the playoffs? It was you, wasn't it, at the start of the season?
No, it was me.
No, it was him who said they'd be underachieving if they didn't finish in the playoffs.
No, he didn't.
You did. Because everyone scoffed at him.
No, he did. He did say that.
They'd be underachieving if they didn't finish in the playoffs.
Berkey, I think you're fine. That was me. Swampy. Eating chapel.
His hearing's come back, isn't it?
I've got one ear. Now, luckily, I've sat awake and everyone's directing it into my one ear.
Sorry, Ben, I just want to go back to something very briefly.
Yes.
I think they still are taking the league very seriously. They know that if Alty do slip up, and teams do slip up, they get the finishing line in sight and they go on their holidays a little bit early maybe. They know they've got to keep the pressure on.
Are you going back to the title race?
Yeah, he's just reopened
the title.
Wow, that's like a beautiful metaphor.
I have reopened it officially.
you closed it at the start of the show.
I know, but I like to throw in a curveball every now and again. Right. Paul Carden and the gang are still keeping an eye on the league, and evidence of that was in the Cheshire Senior Cup. They could have put out pretty much any team they liked with first team players in it and turned over Winsford United, who they played. They lost 3-0 against them with the reserves.
They'll keep going
and they will certainly. He's had a great season under a lot of pressure with obviously the amount of injuries they've had early in the season. There's a little bit of money being spent there, which is absolutely fine. But they will be there or thereabouts in the top. They're a top five finish. There's no question about that for me.
Ashton United,
playoffs
for sure.
Definitely.
It's
Ben. They're battlers. They are never, ever, ever beaten. They score so many late goals. It's ridiculous. I mean, you've got Liam Tomsett scoring goals, which he never does. I said, has he scored another one? Yes, he has. I've said all I had to say on Ashton United last month when I basically called Joe DiBanim a genius.
You could look at the form guy and it says they've only won one in the past five games. You think, oh, well, if Ashton had a dip, if you actually look who they've played.
Exactly.
Yes.
They've drawn at home to Alty, drawn away to Barwell, won away to Lancaster, lost narrowly away to Alty and drew away to Shoreline. To still be in the playoffs after that run, they are...
And we talked about Warrington's injury crisis.
Yeah. They've done great.
Ashton,
sometimes they've not named a full substitute lineup, have they? So,
battlers.
We still think Grantham Town are the other team at the moment with the games in hand.
It's still one team, and I've been saying it.
No, don't jump to Barwell yet.
Oh, fair enough. But
I'm going to say Witten.
Right. Now we're going to have to go to Barwell.
I've got a Grantham point. Quick Grantham point. They have slipped out of the playoffs. They've actually only played one game since the 3rd of February. That's their problem. They've completely stalled because all the games have been postponed. So when they do get back playing again, they need to find some momentum again quite quickly.
They've got a goal scorer and a top goal scorer. They're only 1 point and four points off being second. They play 31 games.
Their goal scoring record goes under the radar a bit, doesn't it?
It does massively. Pretty, you know, they've scored.
Second top scorer.
They've scored 64 goals this season. They've got a great goal difference, and for me, Grantham will be replacing the likes of. And no disrespect to Farsley Celtic, because I think there's
purely the games played.
Purely on games played. Okay. Grantham will be in that top five, and I think with the power that they've got up top, they're going to be a real, real handful in the playoffs because they can score goals. And especially if you play at Grantham in that playoff final, you know, it's a tough place to go to.
No, I like this time of year because we can start drawing lines higher up the league table. I think last month it was 10th we drew the line.
15th.
Are we drawing the line now underneath Witten Albion and saying no one below 8th can possibly finish in the playoffs?
I am.
Yeah, I think I'm with Berkey on that. Actually,
well, I was with Ben.
Well, he was posing the question.
I'm posing a question here. That's all. I'm here to pose.
I wouldn't put it that far down.
Would you not? No. Well, how can you put it any higher? Because then you're saying it's between six and that's
it. This weekend, there's some intriguing matches which are taking place.
I'm going to really stick my neck out here. Really am. And I looked at this earlier on.
Yeah.
And I looked down as far as 10th. And the reason why I've done that is
because you love working.
No.
It's 9 points to 5th.
It's 9 points to 5th.
With no games in hand.
The point I'm making is that the teams above them, and they've come out of it and they've won. I think they've won at least one, two since.
I don't think they have.
In the cup they have. They've lost every league game in 2018.
Is that right?
No, that is a stat.
They're on a 5-game losing streak.
I did say I was just going to neck out, didn't I? I'm not going to be a tortoise and go put it back in.
Do you know what? Andy Snape said to you that Whitby had ruined working this season. I thought, really, have they? And I went back and had a look, and Workington have lost every league game.
Bromley killed it.
Bromley killed them as well. So Workington are done.
Let's talk about Barwell. We did promise a live line to the studio.
Manager of the month?
To the studio, but unfortunately, I didn't realise the Wi-Fi would be so bad.
Manager of the month?
James, manager of the month?
Do we have manager of the month?
Team of the month.
Team of the month?
Yeah, I can't remember. It went
team of the month, wasn't it?
It went to Barwell.
Barwell,
rightly so. You work for the league.
I know,
but I'm even in this league. Love it, but I knew that.
Well, this weekend, there's two intriguing games. Witten Albion against Farsley Celtic. And Warrington Town against Barwell. If Barwell get anything out of that game, and Witten Albion get anything out of their game, isn't it game on?
They're totally in it. Down to 8th is in the race at the moment.
10.
So many teams have all got to play each other in that mix. March will define Witten's season because they've got to play Farsley and Ashton, and they're probably going to need to beat both of them to stay in there. But if they do, they're definitely in there. We should show Barwell a bit of love, really. They're on course for their highest ever finish.
Jimmy's just playing, he's hamming this up, right? We never dismiss Barwell, we never have.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it for you. Barwell will not finish in the playoffs.
Is that where do we put them at the beginning of the season, though?
Nowhere near there.
No, it's absolutely true. But Brady Hickey's on form at the moment, and he's flying. Matt Stenson as well. They've got two players. In fact, they've got more than two players in who are pulling up trees. I mean, they're having a really, really good season, Barwell. I do think it's just beyond them because of the playoffs this season. But hang on, Swampy, no, this is dead important.
It's
brilliant,
well.
But they've got a great platform to build on for next year, haven't they?
Yeah, they are.
Probably not in this league.
Well, no, probably not in this league.
But the one thing is to remember about Barwell is since they've come into this division, and it's been about four seasons now.
They've pretty much improved year on year.
When we played them, teams who Barwell are above: Hensford Town, Workington, Nantwich, Stafford Rangers, Stourbridge, Buxton.
They've improved season on season on season.
Stalybridge.
They play some good football, and they're a hard working team. And Jimmy's done tremendously well. You know, and fair play to them, and that's why they deserve the team of the month.
It's not only that though. Agreed. The teams that are above are the teams they've had to beat in the last month at the same time as well. I remember 3 weeks ago saying with yourself, but if Barwell have any chance of getting anything out of the season, they had to win the next three games. beat Hensford, good draw against Ashton at home, and beat Workington, all three of them who were in the playoff
race.
They didn't win all three.
Didn't win all three, but still great.
I don't forget Workington haven't won that since 2018.
Very true. But again, just look at the results of the past. I don't think they've lost at all since the start of the year either. And
no, they are. This is their best run of the season. They've got some tough games in March. They've got Warrington away, Grantham away, and Shorelane away. So
can we just mention Hensford Town?
Yes.
5 points from the playoffs. Played 3 games more than Ashton United. Got a game in hand over Farnsley and Barwell. It's not completely beyond them.
No, but kind of Rob Smith's prophecy's coming true in it. He said he was like starting to think about next season, and I don't think that was criticising his team. I just don't think he's entered his thinking that they could really sneak into the top five. They've hit a poor run of form at the wrong time as well. Only won one of the past six, and those two home defeats against Barwell and Warrington, I think, have killed their chances.
I don't think they're going to finish any higher than they are now.
No, I agree.
No, if they've got any chance of the playoffs in the next three games, they've got to win all three of them.
Anyway, I think that's the end of part one, unless anyone got anything else to add.
More bagels.
Coming up next is an interview with Phil Parkinson and maybe Neil Saville. What am I talking about? Of course it is. Phil Parkinson and Neil Saville at Alton.
Joined at the hip.
And then we'll be back with our thoughts about the relegation battle.
Welcome back to the show, Phil. First things first, congratulations for that result against Stourbridge. Cracking first half display there, to say the least.
Yeah, it was everything that we asked from the lads. We asked for desire, we asked for passion, we asked to get out the blocks quickly, but most of all, we asked them to play football like we always do, and they delivered on all fronts. Our energy was superb, and just the way we passed the ball, everything clicked for us on the night, and like I say, it was just an all-round superb first half performance, and just put them to bed really early, really.
I mean, Neil's quoted, I've read it on Twitter, that's the what's he said there, it's the best 45 minutes of football he's been involved with at any level. That's quite a statement.
Yeah, I think he means, he's been manager, I don't think he means his days at Crewe.
I was going
to
say.
I had him about that this morning, it was a big statement that, but no, it was, I think we were all just so desperate for a game, and we were excited that it was on, and obviously thrilled with the performance, but I'll be honest with you, it was a very good first half, but we've played that well on a number of occasions. It's just unfortunate for Stourbridge that we've sort of done what we've done on the night. But yeah, we're absolutely delighted with all the players, everybody who's worked really hard during this. It feels like a winter break. That's what I said to the lads. It feels like we've had a little bit of a winter break. Can we come back? Whoever hits the ground running is going to have a big advantage. So we've done that first game and we need to carry on now.
And it comes on the back of, like you say, there was a break there, but the last result against Ashton, that game had a bit of a sting in the tail to it, and you must be pleased with the reaction as well.
Yeah, of course, but as disappointed as we all were, when you look at it in a cold, lighter day, 3-3, yeah, it's a lot of goals in the game, but 3-3, draw away at Ashton, taking 4 points off them this season. You obviously got to look at it from that point of view. Yeah, it doesn't feel great when they come back at you, but we should have learned a lesson from the last game. They went to the bitter end, and maybe I should have learned a lesson as well with regards making subs, but I was looking at it and 3-1 up, a bit like the last game. I'm a deep believer in my squad, and maybe doing Ashton a little bit of a disservice there, thinking that we can just make as many changes as we want. And like I say, they come back and the bitters on the arse, so to speak, at their place. So I wasn't too happy, no, but in the same breath, we still drew. We were in complete control for about three quarters of that game. Obviously, it looks like with them coming back, they've really had to go second half, but it was poor defending from ourselves. And we haven't been that bad defensively all season. So we've had one or two games where you have a few surprises, but in general, we've been outstanding at the back, hence why we've not conceded many goals and why we've scored so many, because teams have trouble getting the ball off us. So, really disappointed that they come back. But again, we take 4 points off one of your promotion rivals any day of the week at the start of the season.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, best goal-scoring record, joint best defensive record at the moment. We are entering that crunch stage of the season. You have got that 10-point lead, but you know, you've got Warrington on your tails with Paul Carden there. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
This kind of thing. And you've got Shaw Lane. And obviously you've got those two, whenever they get played, I reckon July, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah.
But you've got those two games against Shaw Lane coming up as well. How do you make sure that there's no complacency creeps in?
Well, we've got a great group of players, so it's not too difficult, to be honest. They're all hungry. They all want to prove the worth. They all know what a great club this is and how important it is every time they pull that shirt on to perform. Because if they don't, then they know the futures can go very quickly at a club like Altrincham. It's one of them. It's a battle of attrition. You need to be at it every single game. I even said in training. If you're not in training, somebody's going to come in and impress, then obviously you've got to be looking over your shoulder. But they also know they can trust me, the players. You know, if they're playing well and they're training well, that I'll look after them and I'll play them. So it's a two-way street. And like I said, I'd like to think myself and Neil and the management team, the medical staff, are getting the best out of all these players at the moment.
And coming up, you've got obviously Micklover this weekend and then Workington on Tuesday and then Stalybridge next Saturday, all home games. That must be good as well.
Yeah, I mean, we don't fear anyone, Ben, to be honest, and I'm sure other teams feel exactly the same in terms of when they're talking about their teams and their players. We go into every game very confident. We go into every game trying to win it. We don't worry too much about the opposition without sounding too overconfident. We worry about what we're doing, and I think that's one of the keys to our success. We don't focus on nullifying their threats. We focus about using our strengths and really playing to our full potential. And like I said, I think that's why the boys are doing so well, because they all know the jobs, they know what's expected of them. They're not worrying about doing something wrong, they're worrying about doing something right, and it's just a real positive environment for these players.
The management team there at Altrincham, and welcome back to the Heat and Hops here for February's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show. Berkey, you have a point to make.
I have got a point to make, sort of, in so much that they made a great deal of sense in what they said.
You're assuming Neil Savelle was there. It's a brave call.
Neil spoke well, I thought. But Parky.
Which one was Neil and which one was Parky? That's the question.
Yeah, well,
I think you find Parky was actually interviewing Neil.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops, and very shortly we'll be talking about Division 1 and geography as well. I promise the lads around the table we will be discussing Oxbow Lakes.
You mentioned earlier on about geography. Yep, I went to look at the origins of the River Mersey and where it starts, obviously with the Tain, and the River Goyt,
yeah.
And it starts at Scotland. Well, actually goes back to the river, but the tributaries from those two are the River Ethro.
That's
so
right.
It goes as far back as the tributary at Kinder.
Is that right?
Kinder Downfall start of.
James, just a quick point. When that meeting is being organised for the Northern Premier League about geography and how Division 1's going to get split, he's your man. He's going to come
up with
all kinds of greater ways of
splitting. You know,
by rivers.
No.
Don't talk to me about rivers.
Oh, no,
The Tees and the Wear start on the same hill.
Yeah, but the thing is,
we get into games by river.
Of the Mersey Basin around Reddish Vale. Because when I did geography, that's what I did. We all went there and we had all these mechanisms where we looked at the silt and the way that erosion was affected. This is like in the 80s, you look at erosion in the local area. And I thought, because geography encompasses so much more than
interlocking spurs.
As a 10-year-old Swampy back then, did you think to yourself, this is going to come very handy in 40 years' time doing another podcast?
Well, 38 years ago, yes, Ben, I did, so I'm not quite 50. although someone yesterday in this public house, very public, very, very same public house, I thought I was 32.
That's because you've had a shave, though, my friend.
Exactly, that's what they said. Wow.
And his beard's falling off, everyone. Right, so...
So. Amongst the bearded wonders, well, apart from obviously Richard.
So let's talk about let's talk.
That's the thing, actually. Have you noticed that no Brexiteers have beards?
Oh yeah.
What? Yeah. Seriously, name one. There isn't one, is there?
A Brexiteer that has got a beard.
David Davis doesn't have a beard.
No.
Boris doesn't have a beard. Gove certainly. He can grow a beard.
No.
Corbyn.
On the hill.
Well, balance that out.
Satire. I don't know how you've done that.
Right.
It's true, though.
So, relegation. And down the bottom end, it is now between Halesowen and Sutton Coldfield, isn't it?
I think you've still got one other team down there at the moment.
Just one.
Who?
Drop back in.
Who?
Marine.
Marine, come on. You can't say Marine.
We say it every year.
You cannot say Marine.
But they're making it happy at the moment. Marine just don't seem to be doing anything else.
Marine beat Halesowen.
It's a big win for them, though.
It has a big win for them, don't get me wrong. But still not compared to what they've had last week.
They've got two games in hand, though.
Yeah. And Marine never get relegated.
The problem you've got is if you've got it.
Sorry, Marine.
Right, no, I'm standing by this. Marine never get relegated. And look at Hales Owens run here. They've got to play Ashton United away. They've got to play Nantwich Town away. They've got to play Altrincham. They're not going to beat Altrincham, whether the home are away. They could be playing on the moon. They're not going to beat them. They've got to go to Witton Albion as well. And they've got to go. They've got Stourbridge at home as well. They've got an absolutely horrible month, Hales Owens.
The one thing you have to bear in mind is that any team that has conceded 87 goals in a season, unless they can really, really start defending, they're going to get relegated. I know there's only a few points between them and Halesowen, and Halesowen haven't got a great.
You've got to go on recent form.
And for me, it's one of those. Sutton Coldfield. It's unfortunate. Some of those seasons where there's one and only one going down.
Haven't they been dead and buried before?
Yeah,
twice already this season.
Sutton Coldfield lost the past three games. It's slightly misleading because they've been against Farsley, Altrincham, and Warrington, which has come after that bounce. I think last time we were on here, we were talking about as Neil 2 turned it round, and then they've had three horrible games since then.
And you were given a bit of a fright by Sutton Coldfield.
Certainly were. They were a completely different side that we faced at Sutton just before Christmas. No, I was quite impressed.
But aren't they the kind of team?
Like you say, Steve, they've played 36 games. It's perhaps a bit too much now to get out of there.
It's swampy on this ridge. But they'll be going sideways as well, won't they? Would have thought Sutton Coldfield into the geography of somewhere that we're not quite sure yet.
Do you want to do the geography now? I was going to do the third part, but remember.
I've got to get ready to meet the explanation really yet, so not yet.
Let's do the geography. I have in my hand from the non-league paper.
Don't get him started.
For Sunday, March the 4th.
Which is amazing because basically I was thinking about that, but there was no games, and I thought there'd be about three pages.
Oh, they did well, the non-league
paper. But it's got the graphs, and Ben, you love a graph.
I do love a graph. And it's got the provisional step-free boundaries, which means. Sadly, based on this, I'm going to treat this like I'm Montgomery from the army or something.
Can we just put we're losing Birmingham.
We're losing Birmingham. We're losing Leicester. We're losing Northampton and Cambridge.
This is the Northern Premier League, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's fair enough.
Well, we're losing a lot of teams.
Northern Premier teams. Yeah.
Then. I mean, across the three divisions, the league was always going to lose six teams anyway. We need to just. Think of it like that. When you're shrinking it from 68 teams to 62, across obviously two from each of the divisions, someone's going to have to go because of it at the same time. The vote for step four hasn't taken place as we do this.
So that could be east west split, that could be north south.
I mean, I can do the bit now and get it.
Traditionally, clubs just sort of go with, this is how it's always been, we'll keep it like that.
There's an opportunity here, though, isn't there?
There is an opportunity, an opportunity to have proportional representation, but the public decided against it.
It's like having John Cleaver on the table.
The other point to make is that the FA has a real opportunity.
We voted against the congestion charge in Manchester as well.
And we still got the
trams.
We did get the trams. What an absolute Swiss that was.
But let's not forget. But the point I'm making is, in reality, I mean, this new structure. And again, it admits, I mean...
It's in its infancy, so we don't know.
But if you look at the Northern Premier League, I mean, that is the biggest division, actually, geographically, than anywhere else.
But it was anyway.
Which is an absolute travesty.
Is it a travesty?
Because there should be a Northern League. There should be a Step 4 Northern League that has been created as well to make everything regional, everything affordable.
How would that feed into Step 3? See, that's the question, isn't it?
The progress of your Spenny Moors and the people who come out of the Northern League kind of make a mockery of?
No, it doesn't. Because you know what?
You're going to make a money point.
They've already
been there before.
No, and they've already got into liquidation before. They're a new club. And eight clubs that have gone to this step have all disappeared. Now, the point I'm making is as simple as this. If money was distributed from football... to make it and give everyone the opportunity to be actual.
I don't understand what gives the Northern League special dispensation compared to someone like Cornwall.
If you were in Morpeth supporter, you could have to travel 60,000 miles to support your club
season. What about Workington?
Well, Workington were beaten by seven goals to one by Bromley on a Tuesday because of this nonsense.
Workington are really out on a limb, and they've got no one to come and join them. But in the Northern League, you've got Morpeth, all right, but down the road, you've got South Shields, you've got Spennymoor, you've got Whitby, you've got Durham, you've got all sorts of teams.
Anyway, it's a brave move you made, Richard, coming on this show, being from the South East. You've got it easy, haven't you? My goodness, hey, Ishmian League.
France, you say they should be in the...
I haven't mentioned Luton Town yet, have I?
Exactly.
Simo. On travel costs, I mean, there was a precedent a few years ago where the conference helped subsidise. Was it Bishop Stortford's?
Yeah, they moved, didn't they?
Could that be a potential solution for Morpeth? Yeah, I don't know.
There's no easy answer.
No, there isn't.
There are.
Whatever decision you make, you're going
to... It's always going to...
There'll be losers.
That's why, again, with the East and West, at least, okay, you're still the long travelling for the Northern League sides, but it's at least giving the option to make the trip shorter. It was with the M1.
After a few seasons, you've got to have a few teams in there.
And eventually, that's it. When it comes to the 8th division, again, I don't know what the plan is with that at all yet. It could become the case, the Northern League might come into an after only, but there's other parts of the country that need that sort of option.
That's the other side of this, isn't it? In about 3 or 4 years' time, when there's more Northern teams in there, the effects will be less apparent than mine.
Or you take on my plan.
Yeah. There's still a long way to go with this whole thing, isn't there? It's still
out with
the
but can't go
good chat.
Detail,
good chat,
I thought.
Expecting
the country that way.
Minus all the swearing and the grandstanding, I thought it was quite good.
It's very, very simple. What you have to do is...
We're still on.
Yeah, but the east-west split doesn't go right the length of the country.
We've discussed this already, Richard. It'll be based on rivers and their feeding system.
And also the NFL draft system.
Yes, okay. That is the end of part two.
It's only quarter past eight, which is really good.
Coming up in part three, we're going to be talking about the exciting races going on in Division 1 North and South.
Yes!
And we might have a little mini fixture preview. But from everyone at the Eaton Hops,
we've got quarterfinals now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm only playing the game, aren't
they? Wow. And we'll have an Integral League Cup roundup as well.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some Sticks Like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks Like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops. Richard Impey's here from Malta.
Good evening.
Swampy's here from...
He's a video printer.
Swampy's here from the National Non-League Show.
Have I got that wrong? Why do you keep cutting? I'm confused.
Every time I'm at a ground, right, and you drop in the fact that you do the non-league show with other people, always go, when I do the national non-league show.
It's a national one, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but it's like you're having a dig at me all the time. You're like going, you do the Northern, I do the National.
No,
like,
I love the Northern.
All the time. It's like proper passive-aggressive stuff.
No, I don't do that. Because most people that come up to me go, Swampy, you do the Northern Premier League, don't you? And I went,
nobody comes up to you and says that.
You'll be surprised.
You don't else, I know that much.
Oh!
I didn't have to ask. That was brilliant. That was the favourite night of the entire life, that, when you just went, I'm Swampy.
James Hayes is here.
Evening.
Ian Burke is here from 26-0.
Hiya Ben, you're right.
And Andrew Simpson is here from the Northwich Guardian.
I am still here.
That was amazing. Division 1 then. I'm coming to you, Burke.
Oh, good.
We're going to look at Division 1 South shortly, but just to talk about the title race in Division 1 North.
Now, aren't you? I'm giddy as anything. It's an absolutely brilliant division this year. We mentioned it on the weekly show a few weeks back when Hyde played against South Shields in one of the best games of football I've seen since I've been watching football, which is forever, pretty much. It was just the best one. In fact, it was the best 1-1 draw I've ever seen. It was that good. Absolutely brilliant. And the three teams up the top there, South Shields, Hyde United and Scarborough, they'll grace the division above, assuming they all go up. But we can't make that assumption because Bamber Bridge are there in fourth.
Can we make the assumption, though, that the top three in this division will be going up with the points per game?
Looking at the tables at the moment, there's only one other team nearby, which is Carl Salford in the Isthmian League that are anywhere close.
Oh, and
or unless Basford have a massively massively big collapse and somehow finish third.
And I've been told Hartley Wintney aren't far behind. I love his books. Yeah. But I didn't realise it was a football team
compared,
as well.
But compared to the top three,
I've got all his albums.
You're talking about games of the season. I've got to say, I mean, obviously we were there for the South Shields Hyde game, and I was on another show, which is national, international, goes all around the world, like this show does as well, and 26-0 does. It was a wonderful game of football, but I'd just like to talk about a game. I think personally, and I didn't see the game, and I just saw the results.
Radcliffe.
And I think it's possibly that is the greatest game of all season. Radcliffe Borough playing South Shields, a 0-0 draw, and I know you were there, and you said you can't understand how he got a draw, but I tell you what, that is the result of the season. I don't care what any other game has happened before or since or after. That has got to be the game of the season for Radcliffe to get a draw up there after such a great game. We heard the management talk about the game against Hyde.
Lee Pitson
turned around and said, if we play like we do tonight, we will not lose a game pretty much the rest of the season. It was the best game of football you've seen. We all expected Radcliffe to get an absolute pummeling.
Oh, they were annihilated on the day, but they didn't concede.
That
good a cone then.
I'll tell you what, I'll come back to Colin in a second.
They're decent, actually. Colin are a decent team. Watch them next year.
They've got a good couple of players in the team at the moment. Colin, give them a good chance. They won't be in this league much longer. They'll be a lot higher up the pyramid.
So, South Shields, Hyde United, Scarborough, Bamber Bridge outside bet now, do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. They've still got to play Hyde twice. They've got Scarborough to come. I think they've got to play Shields as well. Basically, they're the kingmakers, even though they're right in amongst it. It's a really, really interesting situation.
Scarborough against Bamber Bridge this weekend.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Is it really? Well, they played each other a couple of weeks back as well, and that was a goalless draw. Bamber Bridge should have won that game. They absolutely pummeled Scarborough.
And
missed the penalty as well.
Radcliffe Borough hosting South Shields.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well...
Well,
back in the season.
When them results came through the other week, I was commentating at Hyde, and we couldn't believe it.
I should say, on the Division 1 show, we'll be catching up with Tadcaster Albion as well, because it's not just the title race going on.
They're doing very well at the minute, and I can see them sneaking it.
Up until last week, wasn't it bonkers?
Did he say bonkers?
I did, yeah. From 6 down to 12, 3 points separating those teams.
I'm going to take it a bit further, because Tadcaster were down the bottom end with Rams bottom brick. Also, only a couple of points. They're one of them teams that you were worrying about.
Yeah, but they had that catalytic result, didn't they, against South Shields?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a draw, but blimey, it really spurred them on. It showed them how good they are. And they've got a very, very, very good, solid side there at Taddy this year. And if they're not in the playoffs, I'll be surprised. But, I mentioned this on my show, so I won't do it again. The X show.
What did you say?
You could have it on the last day
of the
season.
No one heard it.
Well, it wouldn't have done. There's a situation which could occur. It is a really good stat. Ben, there's a situation which could occur on the last day of the season. It's Hyde United versus Colwyn Bay. Hyde United could be in third with Bamber Bridge breathing down the necks and all that. But Colwyn Bay need to lose to get into the playoffs.
Why do they have to lose to get into the playoffs?
Because it could be, you know, the best third place team goes up.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, that's very good. That well done. Well done.
Thanks very much.
Glad I showed that. No, that's.
I heard it first time.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Division 1 South.
Hold on. Gives us a table.
Now,
Swampy mentioned the fact that Radcliffe Borough's draw with South Shields was the result of the season. I'd like to just bring everyone's attention to Gresley's win over Basford United. great result for Gresley. Where does that leave Basford United first, when it comes Basford, to...
They still need... Obviously, because they've not...
Where does it leave... Could I have saw it? Do you generally ask where does it leave them? Well, you know what, Ben? I think we can all answer that. In fact, I think he has your son.
The question is...
It's basically a lovely six-year-old kid. Son, have a look at these tables. Add them up. Who do you think is going to win? Even though there was a great result for... Great. He'll go, Daddy, Basford United will win.
Where does it leave Basford United with regards to when they can win the league and get promoted?
Oh, when they can win the league, yeah.
But so they're currently nine off the playoffs after the defeat to Gresley. The league title is probably going to be until like the last three games of the season. At this moment in time, it's still a bit of a distance away.
Okay, don't get
promotion is.
And, so basically, and it wasn't even worth talking
and
about.
Berkey, you had a point.
You did have a point.
I did have a point. I'm just wondering, what league are they going to be in?
That's 9 points before tonight's game with Chasetown against Lincoln. Just to make you
aware. Yeah. Okay.
What league are they going to be in next season? Will they be in the Evo Stick Prem or will they be in the new Central Division? Or, if they are in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division next year, how do you think they'll do? Because traditionally speaking, we know that the teams in the South, they've not done quite as well.
Witten and Shaw Lane would disagree.
Witten and Shaw Lane are Northern teams. Basford are in the Midlands.
So they're not in the South then?
But they were promoted from Division 1 South.
Yes, they were. Well, what I mean is... Witten are a Northern team.
Yeah.
Charlene are A up. Wow. Barnsley. You know, the Northern.
Do they have chimney pots in Nottingham? I think they do,
don't they? Where, what?
In Nottingham.
Oh, you changed it second time, didn't you? Because no one heard you went, Nottingham. Nottingham.
I don't know where.
On the Division 1 show, we're also going to be hearing from Alverchurch, Bedworth and Frickley. And Frickley, Swamper?
Jacob Hazel.
Good player.
Ex-FC United of Manchester, wasn't there long enough. His father obviously was in the in that team that played for West Bromwich Albion, the 11 black players that all played against an all-white team many years ago. Bob Hazel, right. They've scored 83 goals this season. He's done tremendously. He's really improved as a footballer. So he's still a young fella. He's actually scored late 20s in the Football League, but he scored about 39 goals this season in all competitions, done brilliantly well. He's on a par with a team who are in ninth with Topsby Park Steels, with Joe Lumsden, who again is one of the top scorers. And him and Jacob Hazel this season, when we're talking about the Northern Premier League Players of the Year perhaps, and people are thinking about players, you can't discount either of those players. One player that's played in the team that are ninth are going to be finish mid-table, and one player who, Frickley had 3 points deducted as well, so they're not as high up as they'd like to be, but he's been tremendous this season.
Just to add then, when it comes to the promotion race, Basford United, I think we'd all agree, has nailed it.
Nailed on.
They're winning by 20 points.
Then there's four teams who are looking for that second automatic spot, including Stamford in that as well. Yeah. All four of them are doing really well. Then there's Chasetown and their own little island. But it looks like it's pretty much sorted at this stage without being too preemptive.
It seems to be nailed on. I think Leek have, they've had an absolutely bobbing's run since the new year. They've got the flair players there, they've got the talent, but they just can't quite seem to knit it all together at the moment for a full 90 minutes.
A game coming against Crewe Alexandra because he's been there the manager of Leeds was at Crewe for 23 years. They've got a charity match coming up there. They're donating money to a local wherever, so
yeah.
You're right, I think they're just again they've been the nearer team, haven't they? Yeah. It's been four seasons now.
I have a geography question.
Oh great,
Basford United,
Bafford,
Basford United, Alverchurch, and Chasetown and Stamford get promoted. How does that work?
Going off the predictions off a website, so we get nothing that the league are doing officially or anything like that. You got Basford, Stocksbridge, Cleethorpes, and Frickley that would probably stay with us. The rest would be likely to move to the Central.
So, what would happen if all three got promoted and all went into the Central? What would happen then?
Would you probably get three teams in the National League Northern our division instead? So if all three went up, they'll still be the same as normal with the four divisions. It's going to be down to the FA deciding who goes into what league.
Okay.
The one thing we have to bear in mind is any team that does leave this division and this great league of ours,
And podcasts.
And podcasts.
I wouldn't say great podcast. I I'd say podcast.
I said podcast. So
the shackles are off.
I think they're in for a big shock because I don't think there's a better division run than the Northern Premier Division. I think it is such a tremendous division. The amount of work that they do on the pitch, off the pitch. We've seen all the things they've been working with coaches recently, all the bursaries and all these other things. I'm hoping other leagues take the lead and look at what they're doing in the Northern Premier Division and take advantage of it and utilise it, because basically once you left the division, unless you're going up, and even up to a degree isn't anything like this the Northern Premier Division, there's four sides.
In what way? I'm curious.
It's not as warm.
It's not as warm.
If that makes sense.
You're taking the football a bit
I honestly don't think it's been as professional. I think this is the most professional run. Sorry?
In how it's run, you mean?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most professional divisions that you'll find anywhere else. You've got the end of season awards, you've got, all the bursaries.
The awards?
Yeah, so obviously the voting's now closed. The nominations have now closed for the supporters, player of the year, and the managers. So all the people in this room at this moment in time are obviously.
Apart from me, I don't do the voting.
You've got the invite for it if you want
to. Yeah, no, but I don't.
But Ben's allowed to do that in case people go, oh, Ben.
Isn't it anonymous? No, you'll know, won't you?
I just don't think the whole shit gets involved.
Strikers have not been like the majority of voted players this year.
Midfield players.
Midfielders, defenders,
and
a Radcliffe Borough goalkeeper all voted for by South Shield fans. I did that joke last week.
But I think this year, I think the field's probably the strongest it's ever been for it.
And that is the end of the February edition of the Evo Stick NPL show.
That's how long we've been talking. There is that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just getting warmed up.
Thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you to Mr. Ian Burke from 26-0.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, James Hayes, social media officer for the league.
No worries.
Thank you to Swampy from the National Non-League Show. And thank you to Altrincham's very own Richard Impe.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to the end of March.
Thanks, Ben. Much appreciated for just ignoring me there. I just thought you might have said I was also part of FC United and Manchester Radio, but it's just your domain now.
I'll only do that next season when it's appropriate to know.
Oh! What have you said?
That wasn't me dropping the microphone, by the way.
You heard that here first.
That is the end of the show. Thank you for joining us. Look out for the Division 1 show, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.